First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to Spouting Off. Gee, it is a darn good thing that I have a platform to spout off, and as long as I'm doing this show, you do too. I am in love with the right to free expression, always have been, not just the right of my ability to talk and say what's on my mind, but your ability to talk and say what's on your mind. One of the things I love about doing this show, even if we don't always get calls, is that it is indeed live call-in talk radio. If you are listening at 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline on 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM Nashua, New Hampshire, you have a platform. There is nothing better than live call-in talk radio, or at least the opportunity to do so. And as the opener, as our new opener says, without the First Amendment and free expression, you cannot have a free country. It's impossible. I think that the liberty in this country is under grave attack, and I have said so, and I shouldn't have to defend my right to say so. The fact that more and more American citizens have bought into the idea that words, thoughts, and differing opinions are dangerous is, well, dangerous, very dangerous. We never used to think that in America, even no matter how different, left and right, it didn't matter. We all believed that most of us anyway, especially the left, in the 60s and 70s, always believed that the antidote to ugly, hateful speech was more speech. Just watch the movie Lenny, if you don't believe me. Lenny was a lefty. Lefty Lenny. Lenny Bruce, brilliant comedian, became obsessed with his right to say what he wanted. But religious types at that point, he was being what they considered to be offensive. And yes, we could get into a whole nother discussion about obscenity. That's what he was fighting. Now, number one, Lenny Bruce would be put right back in jail today because what others deem obscene is now differing political opinions. Now, it's always been controversial whether obscenity should be part of that, but in those days, in Lenny Bruce's time, it was all about, well, what's obscenity? And someone else would say, well, we'll know it when we see it. That is a totally different question because we did have a homogeneous kind of population then in which somebody was always pushing the envelope on broadcast television. Now, we have the identical opposite of that, which is people in power and control are deciding what we're allowed to see and hear and even think. Not only would Lenny Bruce be horrified, but any card-carrying liberal of those days or the 60s or the 70s, and I venture to say even the 80s, would be horrified at what liberals are not only tolerating but advocating. It's astonishing. Let me get to a news item that I thought was just fascinating. I love listening to the news on WSMN because there's always something that I have to spout off about. And by the way, I didn't even give you the number. Here I was ranting and raving about how you have the freedom to call in live on this program, and I didn't give you the number. It's 603-816-1590. You don't have to be living in our flagship station, in our flagship state, to for Spouting Off on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can be listening anywhere in the country, and most cell phones will let you dial it free. The idea of toll-free is not that big a deal anymore. 603-816-1590, just like the AM dial, 1590. 603-816-1590. So I'm listening to the news, and I hear them say that people on both sides of the aisle, and of course there's a whole bunch of people that pretend to be different, but they're really not. They're all part of the swamp. They're saying that they are open to the possibility of splitting the country into left and right, blue and red. I always thought the left should be red because they're hardcore communists. They should be red, but that's another story. So the supposed left states, which are now the slave states, should be one country and the free states should be another. There's only one problem with that. And, you know, at this point, having moved, being a freedom refugee and having moved from Colorado to Texas with my husband and our dogs and whatever else we got, I'm all for that at this point because I don't think you can ever, there's no such thing as the middle between liberty and tyranny. Either you're on your road to liberty or you're on the road to tyranny. And this country is most certainly on the road to tyranny. I wish somebody would convince me otherwise. Tell me, call me, tell me I'm wrong, but back it up. All right. Here's the thing, or as the presidential potted plant says, here's the deal. The only problem is, in his case, he doesn't know what the deal is. He doesn't even know where the bathroom is, and everybody knows it. It's easy to smear him with these communist, destructive, America-destroying policies because whoever is calling the shots, we call them the whomevers. Whomever is calling the shots, and there's some, but we don't know who they are. I don't know their names, really. They're happy to smear a person who clearly is in serious cognitive decline and pretending to be the commander-in-chief. It's the perfect puppet, the perfect presidential potted plant. So let me get back to my point here. So the news announcer said that people are open to splitting the country in two and having blue states and red states, or freedom states and slave states. That's what I call them, because the difference in liberty between Colorado and Texas is enormous. Unfortunately, a lot of the same Californians are moving to both places, but the question is, are they moving for liberty or they're moving because they're too ignorant to realize that they voted in tyranny and now they want to escape and do the same thing somewhere else. The problem with this idea, and I actually would support it at this point, is this. One side doesn't believe in live and let live and never did. They have been engaged in cultural and country misappropriation for decades. Every communist, socialist, authoritarian, totalitarian country or regime always wants to expand its power, influence, control, and dictates onto people who don't want them. That's the very essence of totalitarianism. And unfortunately, we have, it makes me always feel like I'm talking about a sci-fi B movie at this point, but we have in this country and around the world a major, huge push to institute, I kid you not, world fascism / communism, whatever you want to talk call it, because there are variants of the same thing. It's variants of authoritarianism. It's variants of a very small number of people telling everyone else how to live, what they're allowed to own, if they're allowed to own private property at all, what they will do with their body, what kind of medical treatment they will be forced into taking, and what kind of medical treatment they're not allowed to have. what they will eat, all of it. It's tyranny, it's serfdom, and it is un-American. So there's always going to be those types that keep wanting to expand. You remember the satellite countries of the old Soviet Union? They weren't satisfied to have control of the entire country of Russia, a very large amount of land where they could send their political dissidents to either mental hospitals or what the heck is the name of that very, very cold place? It's Soviet Union, Alaska. You see, I'm having a Biden moment. Siberia. There you go. I knew I could pull it up somewhere. They weren't content to do that. No, they had to control all the countries around them. And most anti-communists in America saw the threat in the 50s after the war and said, you know what? The Soviet Union, the Russian bear, is not going to stop with Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, Poland, and the rest of the satellite countries who were taken over by the Russian communists. No, they want to take over America too. And some people, especially in Hollywood, said, oh, pish posh, they don't want to take over. Besides, we think socialism and communism and redistribution of wealth is fairer, more just and generous. Just don't redistribute our wealth, because our wealth should be safe and secure. We're just going to feign generosity by claiming that everybody else should have their wealth taken. This is the height of hypocrisy and intellectual dishonesty. But that's another story. The problem is, it could never work under the current circumstances to have the radical left in control of some states, which they already are. Take a look at what's happened to New York, New York City. All the freedom lovers in upstate New York are being bullied and intimidated. Always the people who live further away from big cities, who just want to be left alone. But the left will never leave freedom lovers alone. They cannot abide by anyone who wants to be in control of themselves. They don't want to be. This is the byword of a liberty lover. They don't want to control anybody else. They simply want to be left alone. Those things which we must agree upon in order to be governed, or as our great Constitution discusses, and the Declaration of Independence, the consent of the governed, those that in America who consent to be governed do so to protect their freedom, not to give it up. And yet, we have an infiltration of communism and socialism in this country that is so virulent and evil and deceitful, using deceptive tactics to tell people, this is for your own good. We're going to take away your property. We're going to take away your freedom. We're going to take away your liberty because, you know, it's for your own good. And, oh, yes, it's for the common good as well. All of that is what we are watching in our lifetimes. Never ceases to amaze me that we are living in such times to watch such things. The great history, the great beacon of liberty of the United States of America is dimming greatly as we speak. So I'm not even remotely convinced that those who want to separate from Texas and Florida, states, I'm already calling them countries. There's been a Texas secede movement forever, but it hasn't been taken very seriously. The fact is, those on the left who think that Texas and Florida are just so despicable and backward and flat earth states that they want to secede, don't believe them for a second. No, they want to subjugate those states. In fact, the same bunch, there's a whole bunch of people, moveon.org and a whole cabal of activists who succeeded brilliantly in taking over Colorado in shorter order and in quicker time than they ever dreamed. And they all moved to Texas so they could take over Texas, because they knew if they could take Texas, they could take the country. Now many of them are in control in Washington, D.C. There's a monopoly of power of radical leftists in Washington, D.C., which is why we're seeing these horribly nihilistic America-destructive policies. I didn't even get to my point about if you wanted to destroy a country, if you wanted to destroy America, you'd be destroying everything they're trying to destroy right now. The family, the nuclear family, people of faith, churches, synagogues, anyone who thinks for themselves, free speech, it's all under attack right now. But guess what? I got to take a break. Boy, that went quickly.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Okay, we're back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. Let me tell you about our first guest, if we have him available. I think we do. Do we? I guess I'll know in just a minute.
I have to call him right back.
Okay, we had a little glitch there. But, you know, them is the breaks in talk radio. I'm going to pull up my much better schedule here so that I can adequately introduce our guest, who Art had, just didn't have him handy. Okay. Yep, I had that information. Who knew? All right. Also, one other little point since we're waiting. I just put up a new piece called Forced to Pretend at my website, KarenCataline.com. Yes, my first name is the name of a middle-aged white woman who complains a lot. And of course, that's preposterous because it's racist on its face. We don't judge people by their first names. And yet that's the culture we're living in. Can you believe that? Anyway, we have our guest. I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. KarenCataline.com, just the way you spell my name is K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E is the last name. Forced to Pretend. They're firing airline workers because they won't take the jab, and they're supposed to pretend that this is safe and efficient, or they will be, they have been and are being terminated. That ain't American. Nothing American about it. It is the antithesis of America. Now, let's get to our wonderful guest. There is a nasty battle raging in Congress right now over the debt ceiling and a looming government shutdown. Ooh, I hope so. As well as the craziness of the massive defense bill. Yeah, but they're throwing all kinds of stuff in there. Mark Tapscott, congressional correspondent with the wonderful Epoch Times, I just upped my subscription, is providing solid reporting from the halls of Congress and a whole bunch of wry observations as well. Mark Tapscott, welcome to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline on WSMN.
Karen, thank you for having me, and thank you for the kind words about the Epoch Times. It really is a great news operation.
In light of the way journalism is dead in so many other places, not only am I grateful to support the Epoch Times, or some people call it the Epoch Times, whatever, it sticks it to China. It's honest and straightforward. The only thing that's amazing to me is that in such an oppressive environment that it continues to survive. Mark, what do you think about that? Do you think it's going to be around for a while? Because I worry about it. I really do.
Oh, I've as an old school journalist myself, I worry about that too. But I have to say, the Epoch Times has even exceeded my expectations, and I tend to be an optimist. the thing is growing. The readership is growing. The media impact is growing. It's pretty remarkable, actually.
Yeah, and never has it been more important to get accurate information because, you know, one of my favorite Latin phrases, and it's probably my only favorite Latin phrase because other than e pluribus unum, I don't have any, is falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus. Once you find out somebody is lying to you, to believe them after that is folly, is foolish, is stupid, don't you think?
Well, you know, that's been a problem with politicians in Washington for a long time. I think that's especially been a problem in recent years because we have, unfortunately, the journalism profession has been taken over by folks who don't know anything about the commitment to reporting both sides. They see journalism as a propaganda outlet, a tool of political activism. And that's not the way you get an informed public. That's the way you get a manipulated public.
And they want to dumb people down. They're doing a darn good job of it. They are dumbing people down. There are people that have – there's an old phrase, Mark. There's an old joke. It's not so old. It's as old as COVID. Do you know why the Amish are not at all afraid of the coronavirus?
No, why?
They don't have a TV.
Karen, I have not heard that. That's pretty good.
Well, it's true. And you know what? It's not even a joke. It's not even a satire. It's true. You know, even in Texas, where I where I am proud to live when we moved from the slave state of Colorado, there are people, when you watch local television news, it's wall-to-wall coronavirus fear-mongering all the time. They never quit. You'd think by now people would realize they're being lied to, but I digress. You came on to talk about this ridiculous budget where they want to spend us into oblivion, and we all need to have the latest on that. So let me give you the floor and you tell us what is the latest with that. I kind of like the Democrats are fighting amongst themselves, but we're the pawns here. So go ahead, tell us.
Well, you framed it very well, Karen. The excuse me, I'm losing my voice this morning.
Hopefully it was for a good cause.
Yeah, well, it was. $3.5 trillion reconciliation package is absolutely chock full of new entitlement programs, new tax hikes that don't just affect the so-called rich, but affect everybody in America. And, you know, at first glance, you would think, oh, geez, here we go with yet another New Deal, Great Society expansion of the federal government. And that is what the Democrats are trying to do. But I think they are becoming a victim of their ambitiousness here, because what is happening, there is so much in the bill that the progressives, the so-called progressives, are absolutely committed to. And it cost us $3.5 trillion. Actually, it's more like $5 trillion, but that's the lower estimate that the Congressional Budget Office has used. And then on the other hand, you have all these Democrats, like Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kristen Sinema from Arizona, who are saying, and I quote Senator Manchin, this is fiscal insanity. So you now have an immovable object and an unstoppable bullet running into each other. And I think one of the things that's going to happen is at a certain point, the congressional leadership of the Democratic Party, Speaker Pelosi in the House and Majority Leader Schumer, are going to say, we can't do this. We cannot solve this puzzle. And they're just going to have to admit they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and start over.
Well, I always have great hopes that evil forces that eventually turn on themselves will destroy themselves and leave us all alone. On a grand scale, is there any chance of that, Mark?
Karen, I really do think that, I mean, you always have to assume the worst and hope for the best. And the best outcome in this case would be precisely that they give up. The worst outcome is that somehow or another they figure out a way to keep the basic programs and tax hikes. They'll compress them down from a 10-year projection to probably a 3 to 5-year projection, and that will get the myth of the actual cost of the bill from 3-5 trillion probably down to 1-1.5, and maybe they can get that through. But I'm not even sure that they can pull that off.
Well, there's an awful lot of news reporting that you usually don't see, talking about how the Democrats are at each other's throats. Like, who would have thunk that Kyrsten Sinema would have been a fiscal conservative? And you know the walk-away movement, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
The best way to solidify somebody as walking away permanently is when they ask a question or they dare to think for themselves, and then they get treated like dirt like every other conservative. Kyrsten Sinema was followed into a bathroom with a camera.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's part of what I'm talking about when I say they are becoming a victim of their own ambition, because you have these radical activists trying to intimidate Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And I think that's probably not a very smart strategy to use. It will backfire on them. And I think Joe Manchin may be taking steps towards becoming a Republican because he sees what's happening in West Virginia. Kyrsten Sinema, on the other hand, I have to say she's quite a pleasant surprise, because based on her 3 terms in the House, she was very much voted on the liberal side of the aisle. So, you know,
what's your hunch as to why she's showing? I hate to ask, you know, I am kind of a skeptic. I don't know if you call it a cynic or a skeptic or a synaptic, but a little of both, I guess, is when I see people act out of character. And yes, I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm always wondering, what's their motive? What are they up to? I hope it's a genuine desire for fiscal sanity. What do you think it is?
That's a great question, Karen, and I have been asking myself the same thing. I suspect it has to do, number one, with the fact that she would like to get reelected. and the
well, that's
Arizona
always a logical assumption.
The Arizona electorate tends still to be pretty conservative and independent. And one good way for a Democrat office holder in a reddish state like Arizona for them to maintain their ability to stay in office is to be able to show on a fairly regular basis a measure of independence. And that's exactly what she's doing. They can't take Chuck Schumer can't take her vote for granted, and that's a good thing for her.
Well, and that begs another question. Arizona has been the central battleground on election integrity And once politicians don't care about the vote of the people, which is exactly where we're headed, people who think they've got things so locked up, you see that in radical Democrat districts where there's really no competition whatsoever, and they govern that way. If they're not checked, then they don't just take the vote for granted. They govern over the people. They lord over the people instead of govern. And that's the core of the problem that we're facing, isn't it? Your thoughts about that in general or in specific?
Well, specifically with regard to Arizona and election reform, I think that's the reaction in the mainstream media to the report of the on the audit, the recount, I think epitomizes what's wrong with the mainstream media these days. The bottom line on the audit was that, yes, if you just count the votes the way it was counted the last time, Biden still won. And that was reported overwhelmingly as, well, the audit confirmed that Biden won, therefore there's no problem with election problems. But if you read on in the audit report, if you read the rest of the audit report, it literally listed a dozen problems that were found with hundreds of thousands of votes in Arizona. And at the very least, that ought to tell the voters in Arizona that you know, they've got a lot of reforms that need to be taken before anybody can be confident that an election is going to be conducted honestly.
Right. Well, that went quickly. We got 60 seconds, and I want to give you a chance to talk about where people can find you on the internet, if they can, read you, follow you, because I enjoyed our conversation, and I hope to have you back again soon, Mark Tapscott.
Well, we will definitely do that, and you can find me with or without my voice at epochtimesoneword.com.
Yes, and that's spelled E-P-O-C-H, and definitely bring your voice, even if it's a little froggy. We don't care. Mark Tapscott there, thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, we are going to talk to Heidi St. John. You're not going to want to miss that. And a whole lot more here on 1590 AM WSMN.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off here on 1590 AM WSMN, Nashua, New Hampshire, the Live Free or Die State. Never has that been more powerful and important. Karen Cataline with you. Among the good things that we've been watching that we are cheering and being thrilled about, I am anyway, are the parents, moms and dads, parents. Used to be called soccer moms, but you know what? They're mama bears now, and they are standing up for their children, watching. This was one of the wonderful things that happened from a despicable time of shutting people down, telling them they couldn't go to school, telling them they couldn't send their kids to schools while teachers went off to Tahiti. Not all of them, but enough of them. We don't want to work. We just want to get paid. And parents got to see what kind of garbage racism, bigotry, and communism is being indoctrinated into our kids. Well, we've got somebody who is a congressional candidate and in a GOP primary for the 3rd District of Washington State, the only challenger who can knock off a rhino, Jamie Herrera Boutler. We'll find out about that. She's the author of the Mom Strong book series, Becoming Mom Strong, How to Fight with All That's in You for Your Family and Your Faith. Welcome to Spouting Off, Heidi St. John. Thanks for joining us, Heidi.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, boy. I mean, talk about an important and relevant subject for now. Before we get to your candidacy, talk about your book. What is it to be mom strong? And are you feeling, as I am, that this is among the most threatening, dangerous, and yet historically important times in our lifetime?
Yeah, I mean, I would put this in probably among the top three in terms of times in our country that have been dangerous to freedom and dangerous to liberty. It's important for moms and dads and ordinary citizens like you and me to be rising up all over the country and standing for liberty. And I've been doing this for about 15 years. I started writing probably close to 15 years ago. Becoming Mom Strong, How to Fight with All That's in You for Your Family and Your Faith was released in 2017, the first of seven books in a series that I have been writing for a wonderful publisher named Tyndale. The reason I wanted to write that book is because I believe and have believed for some time that this generation of parents is raising a very special generation of children. And they're going to have to know how to stand. They're going to have to know why they believe what they believe. It's more important than it's ever been right now. Our country is literally being taken over. And I declare a state of emergency with regard to our public schools. I think it's a national security issue. These kids are being indoctrinated into the ideologies of Marxism and socialism and communism. And we are cranking them out by the hundreds of thousands every year from our public schools and from our public and private universities. And so my call in becoming Mom Strong was to say, hey, get off the bench, get onto the battlefield. Your kids are worth fighting for. This country is worth fighting for. The ideas of liberty and freedom are worth defending. And this is the generation to do it.
Thank you so much. And so well put, Heidi St. John. You know, this comes at the perfect time. Juan hit a home run again for having you on at just the perfect time, because we saw just last week major news stories where Terry McAuliffe, a buddy of the Clintons, governor of Virginia, running for reelection, isn't even ashamed to say that he doesn't think parents ought to have a say in what is being taught to their children. And you have people, it's hard for me to even say this, and yet it's true because I've been talking about it on the radio. The National School Board Association has called on the Biden administration, and of course Merrick Garland is going ahead with it, to police parents using domestic terror laws simply for questioning what their kids are being taught. Never did I think I would see such things in the United States of America. What about you?
Well, it's what we were saying a moment ago. This is a salient moment for patriotism. This is a salient moment for liberty. And we're deciding, we're at a crossroad right now. I was actually really glad to see the communist governor of Virginia show his true colors, because they have believed this for a long time. You know, I breathe a sigh of relief. Finally, they're going to say it out loud, because we've been saying this for a long time, and the National Educators Association and these weak governors and these dangerous Democrats have been saying, oh, no, that's not what we really believe. We're interested in helping you educate your children. That's not what they're interested in. They are interested in the total capitulation of parental rights and parental authorities to the state via the education system. And Governor McAuliffe made it very, very clear that he stands with socialists and Marxists who want to indoctrinate your children. This is why in this ridiculous, quote, you know, infrastructure bill, which has nothing really to do with infrastructure at all, this is why they want to give free pre-K education to your kids. They want to start the indoctrination before they even get to kindergarten, which, by the way, is what they do in countries like Afghanistan. They start indoctrinating Absolutely. Their young children into radical Yep. Islam. The Taliban does this from the time they could walk. And that's what they're trying to do here.
You know, I used to be in the theater many moons ago, and I did a play called The Prime of Miss Jean Brody. Wonderful movie with Maggie Smith. And Maggie was an incredibly influential and manipulative teacher who was fond of the phrase, give me a child at an impressionable age, and she is mine for life. That's the reason these ideologues, communists, are targeting children with masks, with CRT, with all of it. They are a major target for indoctrination so that the country will be undeniably communist in the next generation. And one generation isn't very long. It's like 18 years or 20. Mm-hmm. And they're already on the way. We have communists in power now. Tell us how Momstrongs can fight this and win. I know that's a really unfair question, but we're desperate to stand together for liberty because we're going to lose our country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, all the people that say, well, you're overreacting. This is why they've been spending the last 17 months calling everyone who questions the narrative about the virus a conspiracy theorist, right? This is a way to shame you into silence. The only thing that these people need now, because the infrastructure is already in place, right? So for decades, they've been putting the infrastructure in place. Now they own the universities. They own our elementary schools. And when I say they, I mean the Marxists in this country, the communists, the socialists, they all go the same. You were just talking about the importance of education. Nobody knew this better than Joseph Stalin. Nobody knew this better.
That's right.
Nobody knew this better than Lenin. Hitler. I mean, for goodness sake, this was the guy who said, you know, he alone who owns the youth owns the future. So, of course,
Hitler
they're targeting our children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun. These people aren't geniuses. They didn't just come up with this stuff. They're simply reinstituting it and have been for a long time, as well as indoctrinating people of all ages to hate their own country and to be willing to destroy their own country. That's called useful idiots. It's terrifying, really. You decided to run for office, and I take my hat off to you. Tell us about your race, why you decided to run.
So I decided to run because I'm tired of seeing my state represented by people who masquerade as conservatives and people who say that they're Republicans, but then they don't vote consistently for Republican values. And right now our country is being run into the ground by dangerous Democrats who are hell-bent on creating social unrest in this country, the Marxist ideology well into place. And I'm tired of dangerous Democrats and weak Republicans. And I am not a weak conservative. I am not a weak Republican. I am a woman with 7 children and 3 grandchildren who has absolutely had enough. I have owned and operate still 3 very successful businesses. I'm the owner of Off the Bench with Heidi St. John. It's a podcast that gets about 1 million downloads a month. And I know a thing or two about this country, and we need people of courage, because right now the real pandemic, it's not a virus with a 99.9% survival rate. The real pandemic is a crisis of courage. People are being canceled, which the left says canceled. What they really mean is censored. And I refuse
They're
to book be censored.
Burners,
I refuse
as
to be
David
silent.
Horowitz points out. They're the new book burners. They don't want you to know. That shows they're pretty weak and pretty threatened, doesn't it? But we've got to accentuate that.
Yep, that's right. Well, that's why YouTube has taken down our videos. I just got out of another 30-day lockout from the communist Facebook organization. And listen, I want to go back to something you asked a minute ago, because I don't think we finished touching on that. When I think people need hope right now. They need to know, what can I do? Stop telling me how bad it is. Stop telling me how the country's on fire, and tell me how I can put the fire out. So here's where you start. All politics is local. And we have our eyes on federal races, which is good, and national races, which is good. But the fact of the matter is, if you guys want voter integrity, it starts in your county, in your city. If the city of Los Angeles or the city of Vancouver, Washington, if the city council said, hey, we want you guys to vote, here's how it's going to go down. We want to make sure that you are who you say you are. Bring voter ID, and we'll absolutely welcome you into the voting booths. We can actually turn this thing around. People need to start showing up to their city council meetings, showing up to their school board meetings. They don't want you at school board meetings, which is why they're gonna threaten you now and say they're gonna call you a domestic terrorist. Let them do it. And this is a gigantic game of chicken that we are playing between people who love this country and people who hate it. And so we need to show up. I've got a really great question for your listeners. How many of us have for decades now watched the voter pamphlets come out, and our city councils and our school boards and our mayors and our city managers and our judges are allowed to run as so-called nonpartisan? Well, how many of you really believe these people are nonpartisan?
They're not
nonpartisan. So they put their pictures in the voter pamphlet and they say, I've grown up in this area and I love it. And I have 3 dogs and 2 children and I like to crochet on the weekends. And we look at the picture and go, well, he looks like a nice guy. We didn't know he's a leftist who graduated from Harvard University, who's hell-bent on turning this country upside down. No, we need to demand more. We need to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't run as a nonpartisan. Every person listening to this can do something. Run for your library boards. Run for Parks and Recreation. Get involved. This is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we have a handful of political elites who are hell-bent on taking that authority away from the people and giving it to people who will never give it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when people do take power and they subjugate others, do you think, you know, out of the goodness of their heart, they're going to say, you know what? I think I'm going to stop forcing you to do things. No, they're not going to be suddenly checking themselves for having too much power, set limits on themselves. They're the ones who usurped the limits to begin with. I love your ideas about what we can do. You got some more for us?
Yeah, I think, you know, for ordinary Americans forever, we have been sitting on our, you know, going home and doing the, you know, we're pursuing the American dream, right? We're working hard, or we're teaching our kids to make their beds and be good citizens. And then we're coming home at night, we're firing up Netflix, and we're sitting on the couch with a bowl of popcorn and a beer. And I'm telling people, stop doing that. In the evening when you come home, do your homework. Learn the Constitution. Read books like The Naked Socialist by Skousen. And find out about the roots of Marxism and how they have infiltrated this country. Get a book by Bodhi Bakum called, these are amazing, Fault Lines, probably one of the best books on critical race theory that I have ever read. So we cannot afford to be lazy patriots.
Give us the name again so people can get the book. What's it called?
Yes. Bodhi Bakum is the author. The book is called Fault Lines. This is a black pastor who knows more about critical race theory than almost anyone I have ever met. It is, I think, the best book on understanding critical theory, which morphed into critical race theory, which entered our institutions in 1989. That makes it 32 years old. So this is not a new idea. This is an idea who is now, it's a flower that's in bloom because, like I said at the beginning of this interview, the infrastructure is already in place, and they are using a virus with a 99.9% survival rate as an excuse to enact emergency orders to implement the hostile takeover of the freest, most prosperous nation on the face of the earth. And that is what is happening right now. And so rather than sit at home and enjoy your evening, go to school board meetings, do some homework, go to patriotacademy.com and you can get their free classes on the Constitution, or Hillsdale College and download their free courses. People in this country don't know the Constitution. They don't even know their own rights. And this is what the radicals who are trying to take this nation over are banking on. And the only thing they need now to finish the job they have started is for good people, people who love this country, to remain silent. It's for people to stick their head in the sand and to not learn the history of this great nation and be able to defend it. And so I'm telling people, stop vacationing every evening and instead start studying as if you were in college. Our nation is on fire and you are needed now more than ever.
Oh, so well put. Very articulate, and I love your passion. What do we do also, unfortunately, about the cultural attacks on this country? It isn't just educational attacks. It's the elevation of sloth, of theft, of blame, of all the things that our parents taught us we ought not do. You know, if Jimmy was jumping off a bridge, would you do it too? And yet the evil people who want to take this country over are elevating the very worst of character and putting down and punishing the very best. So what do we do about that? I have some ideas. I'd love to hear your thoughts in the last minute or two that we have together.
Well, I think that we start by just acknowledging that that's what they're doing. And Black Lives Matter saying that they are a trained Marxist. These are trained Marxists, and the way that they are going to divide this country. And I'm back to my state of emergency. I declare a state of emergency. These people are hell-bent on destroying the nuclear family. Look what's happening with the virus right now. We need to stop being distracted by whether or not the so-called vaccine is a good idea and start talking about the stripping away of our liberty. They are forcing people out of jobs. And even, I don't care if you got the vaccine or if you didn't. Let's keep our eye on the ball. The ball is liberty. They want to divide us by race. They want to divide us by vaccination status. They want to divide us by sexual orientation. They want to divide us by religion. And they do this because what they're trying to do is upend the culture. They want to destabilize the United States. And the best way to do that is to have us all fighting with each other. We must unite around the ideas of liberty and freedom and around the ideas of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which remind us our rights do not come from government. They come from God Almighty. If the government can give you your rights, it can also take them away from you. And so I tell parents, keep your eyes on the ball. And the ball is liberty, and we are watching our freedoms being stripped away from us right now, one devastating piece of legislation at a time. This is not about a virus. This is about power. It's about control. It's about a great reset, about reimagining this country into the image of socialists and communists who would do us harm. And we need to be united around the ideas of liberty and around the ideas of our founding fathers who gave us the
greatest nation. We have so little time. I want everybody to go to your website and tell them how they can support your campaign. You are a wonderful spokesperson for liberty. Love your passion. How can people follow you?
Thank you so much. You can support my run for Congress at HeidiSt.JohnForCongress.com.
I love it. And you're just talking my language. And I think you inspired a lot of people there. Thank you so much for joining us, Heidi St. John. And go to HeidiSt.JohnForCongress.com. Well, that about does it for us. We will have another episode on Thursday of Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Thanks to everybody who makes it possible. Be strong and stand for liberty, like Heidi says.